In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 12, we all know Romans chapter 12 because the first two verses, I think, are some of the most popular verses that we see in all of Paul's epistles. He starts off by saying in verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." Those are two great verses that let us know that our lives should be given to Him. This is our reasonable service because of what He's done for us. This is our reasonable service, to give our lives to Him every day. And it also goes on to tell us in verse number 2 that we're to be conformed. We're to change our minds. When we got saved, when we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our spirit was changed and is changed and remains changed. And because His Spirit is now in our spirit is made righteous, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we do. There's no sin that you can do. There's no failure you can do that can change that. Your spirit is changed. But it's an ongoing, throughout the rest of our lives, it's an ongoing endeavor on our part to continue to change our minds, and develop our minds from the worldly way of thinking that we had been before Jesus Christ into thinking and changing our minds to line up with the Word of God and to be in one accord with Jesus and His Word. It is the renewing of our mind. We're constantly renewing and refreshing our mind, getting ourselves removed from the world and focused on the things of Jesus Christ. Because as we do this, two things happen. The one thing is, the more that we renew our minds and transform our minds to follow after and be akin to or listening to or focused on the things of Jesus Christ, it changes our lives. So the promises that we see in the Word of God, the more our minds are renewed in Jesus Christ. We're taken away from the world. We're not focused on the world. We're focused on Jesus Christ. And in that, we can then walk in the good things, the victories that Jesus has for us. So that's step one. Step two is, as we renew our minds and we're spending our time thinking about the things of Jesus Christ and His Word, and we're removing our minds and our thoughts from the world, we see all those promises come to pass in our lives. And then the world gets to see the glory of Jesus Christ as well, as demonstrated through our lives. So those are the two verses that start off verse number 12, or chapter 12 of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, if you drop down to verse number 9, Paul starts to build upon that, and he tells us how we should behave on a daily basis as Christians. And this is behavior that he's telling us, not just so that, hey, this is how you're supposed to act, although certainly there is an element of that. This is the way that the world is supposed to see Jesus Christ through us. So this is the way that we should act, certainly. But Paul is also saying, you know, this is the behavior that we should expect to come from us, because this is the Jesus Christ that is in us. The nature of Christ that is in us should be coming out. And so if we have our minds renewed, so in other words, our minds are not set on the things of the world, and we're not being moved or influenced by the world, because we are constantly every day renewing our minds. We renew our minds by being in the Word of God and by spending time meditating on the Word and just being with Jesus. This renews and transforms our mind from a worldly perspective and a worldly understanding to an understanding of Jesus Christ and the things of Jesus Christ. And it gives us a kingdom mentality instead of a world's mentality. And when we have this kingdom mentality, then as we live in that kingdom mentality, as we think with that kingdom mentality, and it fills us, it then comes out of us. And this is the way that we should be behaving. These are the things that we should expect to do and should determine to do. And I'm going to read these things to you. And as Paul is saying these things, you might think, well, that's asking an awful lot for us to do in life. But Jesus isn't going to ask you to do anything that He has not empowered you to do. And you already have the nature of Christ in you because His Spirit dwells within you. So as we make the daily effort to transform and renew our minds, then it's just by that simple act of living the life of Christ, having your mind in the Word, your mind meditating on the Word, your mind in Christ and on spiritual things, then these kingdom realities and these kingdom, this kingdom-mindedness is what is demonstrated through you. So you can make the determination today. I'm going to live these things that Paul said. And as we live these things that Paul's about to share with us, as we live these things in our lives, the world itself is going to be changed and influenced by what it sees through you. See, as I live by these standards that Paul's about to share with us here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, there's the world around me. There's people that are around me, both believers and unbelievers, who will then be influenced by what they see in me. And the same thing is true by you. When they see me, when they see you living and demonstrating these things, behaving like a believer in Jesus Christ, when they see us acting that way and behaving that way, it influences them. And it shows them what they could also have. It shows them what they could also stand for and believe. There's even believers that are around you that when they see us living as Paul's about to say to us, it challenges them because they want to live that way as well. They want to live and achieve that same standard for Jesus Christ. So let's look and see exactly what it is that Paul says. Starting in verse number 9. Romans 12, verse number 9, Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. So we're supposed to have love, and it should be without hypocrisy. In other words, it's balanced all across the board. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So these are the things that Paul says. Now that's a lot. That's 10 verses. And you sit and think, wow, that's all good stuff. That's a lot. I'm not sure I can live up to those standards. If Jesus spoke these standards to us through Paul, then these are the standards that we can, in fact, live up to, because through him we have the ability. And Paul is letting us know, Jesus is speaking through Paul to let us know, this is what the world should see from us. So let's look at some of it individually. That first verse, verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil and cling to what is good. This is saying that we need to make sure that our love is a sincere love. It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's not the love of the world, but it is a love where we determine to set aside the things of the flesh. It's not a love that comes from our own nature, but it is the love of Jesus Christ that is in us. It's a love that we didn't have before we knew Jesus Christ, but it's a love that we now have because it is his love that is in us. And we're expected to live and demonstrate that love. And so it's a sincere love. It's a love that's not thinking about self, but it's a love that thinks of others. It's a love that is willing to make sacrifices for others and put others first and foremost. It's a love that is fair and is balanced. In other words, that's why Paul says, let your love be without hypocrisy. In the Amplified Bible, it says, let your love be sincere, a real thing. There shouldn't be any wavering in this love. It's a real thing, which means it's not. When it says a real thing, that is letting us know it is the love of Jesus Christ, and it's not the love that comes from the flesh. If we just try to live in our own love, our own love will always bring us back to loving self first, thinking of self first. That is hypocrisy, because that is hypocrisy in the eyes of Jesus Christ. The love that we are given, the love that was given to us, and the love that we're instructed to operate in, and the love that is supposed to be seen by the world through us, because it's Christ-like love in us, is a love that considers others before it considers ourselves. If I'm thinking about myself, if I'm loving myself more than I'm loving you, that's hypocrisy. It's a hypocrisy because it is the exact opposite. It's saying one thing. If I say that I love you, but I'm really thinking about myself first, that's hypocritical. I'm telling you one thing, but I'm actually thinking, and I will, by all means, do something different. I'm not going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of me first. After I've taken care of me, if there's anything left over that I can give to you, then I'll certainly give that to you, but I'm taking care of me first. That's hypocritical. Because that is not love. It's not love by the standard, by the definition, or by the measure that Jesus uses and expects of us. And Paul is saying that this is the kind of love that we're supposed to have. It is the love of Jesus Christ. It's the love that we've received. It's the love that's in us. And it's the love that we need to demonstrate and pour out to others. So he's letting us know that that is the sincere love. That's the real love. Anything else is being a hypocrite. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what's evil. We are told to hate, to despise, to loathe whatever is evil. Now, we live in a culture where we're surrounded by all kinds of evidences of what is evil. You can't turn on the TV and not see evil. If you watch almost any program, certainly if you watch the world's news broadcasts or how the news presents or so much of TV is the reality kinds of shows where we just see people reacting, and all of that shows all the worst thoughts, traits, and ambitions of the flesh. You can't watch TV and not be inundated with everything that is contrary to the Word, all the morality that is opposed to the Word of God, and we're instructed to hate those things. Now, TV is an easy target to make. We can see this in our culture in so many ways. We can see it in our literature. We can see it in all forms of our entertainment. We can see it in so many, just watching billboards and advertising go by. Our culture is inundated with things that are immoral. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to hate. We're supposed to loathe. We're supposed to abhor what is evil. Now, you're not going to get away from it in this culture, but we're supposed to hate it. Unfortunately, here's what happens. We sometimes are so inundated, often so inundated by the evil, that we just come to accept evil. If you just go through your life and you see evil, you see things taking place around you that are a compromise of the Word of God or are opposed to the Word of God, we see so much of it that we think, well, I don't agree with that, but, you know, it's none of my business. I'm just going to look the other way. Or, well, this is just the way society is. This is just the way that culture is. We just have to learn to accept these things. We have to learn to be tolerant. Not everybody believes in the Word of God. It's not what the Bible says. It's easy for us to become accepting of that which is evil. It's easy for us to accept it. It's easy for us to be so inundated by it and overwhelmed by it that it becomes almost natural. And you don't even realize. How is it that things of Jesus Christ and the things that the Word says, how is it that so many of those things, you see so many, so often you see so many believers backtracking and saying, well, no, that's okay with them. Even though it's contrary to the Word, it's okay for them. It's because we become so inundated with sin and with compromise and immorality, that which is immoral seems normal to us. We're not supposed to just, when I say we're not supposed to accept, I don't mean you go and you berate every single person. You know, the world's going to live like the world, all right? But that means that doesn't mean that we accept it. And it doesn't mean that we don't speak the truth of Jesus Christ. Because if the world doesn't hear the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word, how will they know? How will they know, and how will they be held accountable for living lives and making choices and doing things that are opposed to the Word of God? Because Jesus loves them just as much as He loves you. Even in their sin, Jesus loves them, and He wants them to be free of those sins. He wants them free of that bondage, which will lead to their destruction. But if you and I, who are representing Jesus Christ, who are living for Jesus Christ, if you and I just find those things as, well, that's just the way the world is, nothing I can do about it. Or it just gets to the point where it actually seems normal because it's surrounding us so much that we become quiet. Again, I'm not suggesting, although certainly there is a time when we do have to be like some of the prophets of old and confront evil. But you know what? If your family member or your friends or your coworkers are doing something evil, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, get in their face and tell them that they're, you know, they're bound for hell and that kind of thing. But it means that you lovingly share with them what you believe and what you know and why you believe it. You know, if you share with them the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ and why you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and they know that and understand that, then when you say, this is why the Word, here's how the Word has worked in my life. But the Word says this. And because I care about you, I know that this choice, this action, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, and you're not going to be blessed. And you're not going to be walking in favor. And you're setting yourself up for destruction. These are the things that we can share with others. And this is part of the expectation. Look, this is just the first verse. That's verse number 9. This is just the first verse of what Paul has told us. But he gives us a keen insight because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Verse 9 says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Today, this is our goal. Love people first. Don't think about yourself. Don't think about meeting your needs first. That's hypocritical. That's not Christ-like love. That's the world's love. Have the love of Christ. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be sincere. Let it be the love of Jesus Christ. Abhor what is evil. You know, start stirring in my own heart and soul that I abhor, I will not accept, I find intolerable that which is evil in God. And cling to what is good. I need to make the effort to make sure that every day I'm clinging to what is good and showing that and demonstrating that in my life. These are the things. These are the things. If I will do this, this is living a Christ-like behavior. If we do this, this will change and it will influence the world around you and help change the world around you for Christ as well.